Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate it. Ooh, the Twitter block and mute buttons are getting a workout tonight. And Facebook, we've been deleting a lot of stuff too. I do not care if you disagree. I mean, I might get fired up and respond to you, and that's okay. I'm pretty confident that 4 minutes is a good a chunk of time to be able to express your opinion. But man, if you can't use appropriate language, I don't want to hear from you. Anything that you have to say, you can say without using inappropriate language that we have to dump off the radio or that I have to block off my Twitter feed. It's too bad for the Browns. And I would say also a black mark for the NFL that this game on Thursday night could have represented a major turning point for Cleveland. They finally win back-to-back games. And why does the NFL care at all? Well, because the NFL's invested in this. They're a high-profile team. They've gotten a lot of attention for years and years. But certainly, Baker Mayfield is a player that they believe is marketable and that they want to show more on national TV. There are all of these national TV appearances for the Browns. They finally win two games in a row, maybe changing the narrative. And in the final 8 seconds, it all goes haywire. And now, even though there's this poor guy on Twitter who wrote to me and said, you've spent all this time talking about the last 8 seconds. Can we talk about the other 59 minutes and 52 seconds? No, we really can't. I mean, that's not the story. And that's kind of the point, is that this is supposed to be get a turning point, maybe a jumping off point for the Browns. Their defense plays great. The offense puts together some touchdown drives. I mean, it wasn't the prettiest game, but Thursday Night Football also factors into the equation. The point is, they're only a game back of the Steelers now, and they're right there in the mix for a potential wild card in the AFC, though they've got some work to do. And they very well could have lost their best defensive player for the rest of the season. And this is what everybody is talking about on a Friday morning, a football Friday. I haven't mentioned one other game in this entire show. I really haven't talked about the football at all, other than to mention a couple of quick defensive stats that I thought were impressive. Just kind of underscore the point that there could be a whole different narrative coming out of this game. My notes for the game, they haven't even been used because of what we saw in the final 8 seconds. So good morning to you on a Friday. Our Twitter and Facebook are extremely active, and we've been taking your phone calls, sprinkling them in over the course of the show. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So the reactions, if you're just waking up, we're going to go through them again, because some of you who are waking up right now may not have even seen what happened in the final 8 seconds. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people turned off the television in the final 8 seconds because the game essentially was over. And that's the part that's so crazy, is that the game is done and the Browns are about to walk off the field victorious, and yet nobody clears the field as quickly as what you would expect. So it's a third and, I don't know, 24 or something like that, third and some long, ridiculous yardage, because the Steelers had been backed up and had been in bad situations all night long offensively, and all hell breaks loose.
So third and 29 with 14 seconds left. Rudolph will dump it off to the left side. Trey Edmonds, the catch, sprints out of bounds. And a fight at the 9-yard line. Flags are thrown. The Browns and the Steelers, and Garrett just threw a punch. And Pittsburgh retaliating. Marquise Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying with 8 seconds left. The Steelers are running from the sideline to join in. And this one is going to end in ugly fashion.
That's Ian Eagle with the call on the Westwood One radio network. I've heard the local calls from the Browns and the Steelers, but Ian Eagle, he's right down the middle. He doesn't have audience, a specific audience that he is broadcasting to. So Mason Rudolph gets sacked by Myles Garrett. They're tangled up. To me, it looks like Garrett is taking a couple extra seconds, won't get off him. Rudolph takes exception to that. You can interpret the video however you like. This is my interpretation of the video, and I'm okay with my interpretation. Anyway, by the way, if you turn on any TV set right now, that's all I see. It's all over. Every time I look up, it's on both of my TV screens. Anyway, so they're tangled up on the ground, and while they're tangled up, Mason is tugging at Myles Garrett's helmet, and then Garrett, as he's trying to get up, he's grabbing the face mask and yanking the face mask of Mason Rudolph and eventually just pulls the helmet right off of him. And so at that point, we're talking personal fouls. We're talking flags, personal fouls, though it is the end of the game. Sometimes those personal foul flags, result in fines after the fact. Right. So the referees still have to throw the flags, even if the game is over, because that gets reflected in their grades. But also it's what the NFL looks at then to determine if there should be any ensuing discipline like a fine or a suspension. At that point, it's just personal fouls. I don't even know if these guys would have been fined. But as Garrett gets up, then David DeCastro steps in, one of the offensive linemen for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Rudolph kind of runs, and he's at this point going after Garrett, runs after Garrett, kind of runs into DeCastro, is trying to get around him, and Garrett then takes the helmet that he has yanked off the head of Mason Rudolph and slams it down on the top of Rudolph's head. Obviously, he's not wearing anything on his head because his helmet was gone. Marquise Pouncey then loses his mind. He goes ballistic and he starts kicking and punching. So David DeCastro kind of falls on top of Garrett, gets him to the ground, falls on top of Garrett. And then Marquise Pouncey, he even said after the game, "I blacked out. I've never been so angry. I blacked out." And he starts punching and kicking a Garrett who's on the ground. And just it escalates, as you can imagine, because now you've got players from both sides, whether sidelines or whether on the field, who are trying to step in and protect their guys. Larry Ogunjobi comes running in and shoves Mason Rudolph from behind. He also got ejected. So Garrett, Pouncey, and Ogunjobi also got ejected, which sounds funny, right? Because it's at the end of the game. But again, it's because the NFL is going to look back at this and determine, hey, what happened on the field? What should happen now in the aftermath? Mike Pereira is part of the Fox broadcast crew, is a longtime official in the NFL, and this was his reaction.
This is a terrible situation, and I think that we certainly will be looking at suspensions. You know, I think the swinging of the helmet is like crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It's actually in the rule book where it says that you cannot take a player's helmet off and use it as a weapon. But to me, Garrett is going to have a pretty lengthy suspension, and not just because of what he did tonight. I mean, you got to go back and look at this season. He's already been fined twice for hits on the quarterback, and now you take this incident. And so I'm not going to be surprised if we don't see something that could approach four games. I don't know how long, you know, that they have gone before for an incident like this, but I think four games is probably going to be what they do. It could get reduced because certainly the player can appeal the fine. But I just don't see it. And Pouncey, too, where his kicking and just swinging, I mean, again, this goes beyond pretty much anything that I have seen. What will happen is they got some time. That's the thing, because neither team plays until the following week. So I wouldn't look for a decision to be made until maybe Monday or early Tuesday. But, again, this used to come to me when I was ahead of officiating, and then I would look at it, and then I would refer it upstairs for them to make the final decision.
So Mike Pereira on the Fox broadcast after the fact, and he mentions the four games. You can tell he's a little bit stunned by what he just happened and what he just saw. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The video is all over the place. I'd invite you to go watch it, and then you can determine on your own. It's certainly an opinion about how long Garrett should be suspended, how long Pouncey should be suspended, what should happen to Mason Rudolph and Larry Ogunjobi and other guys who were involved. And we won't have any either validation or otherwise of our opinions until the NFL weighs in. It's funny that Pereira says he thinks that the league will take its time. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, I think if it was me, it's not me, but I wouldn't be surprised if the league reacted swiftly. And the reason I say that is because the NFL can't stand to be embarrassed. The NFL hates bad PR. It hates anything that tarnishes the shield and the image and the integrity of the game. And so for the NFL to step in before the weekend, right, because all of the news networks are going to be playing this video over and over and over again, for the league to step in and respond, that then becomes part of the story as well. But if they sit on it, well, then it lingers throughout the weekend, and the video keeps getting shown without any response from the league. So while I understand what Pereira is saying about wanting to take some time and make sure that they've gone through everything, maybe talk to guys, I also could see them acting swiftly, so it's part of the news cycle. Freddie Kitchens following the game. He may be a first-year head coach, and a lot of people may not like what he's done with the Browns in the play calling, but I was really impressed with his response following this incident.
We don't react like that no matter what. That's not an excuse for anything that Miles did at all, and we're not giving him an excuse. He doesn't want an excuse, so it doesn't matter what happened. I don't even care what happened. We've got 5 seconds to go in the game. That can't happen. We've got 5 seconds to go in the game, the biggest game that this team's won in a – never beat Baltimore and Pittsburgh in the same year since they've been in 1999. And then we've got to talk about this. So there's 52 other guys in that team, on the team, that hurt, and it's going to hurt moving forward. So we don't condone that, and it's not going to – Miles understands what he did wrong, all right? He's got to maintain his composure. Just like he had to do at the start of the year. He had to maintain his composure. We got 5 seconds in the game. I'm sorry, but it's kind of like, you know, he understands.
So Freddie Kitchens saying, I don't care what else happened. That was inexcusable, and it hurts the team, and Myles Garrett understands that. Mike Tomlin was very vocal and animated on the field when he and Freddie Kitchens were standing together. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Someone needs to figure out how to read those lips on the video. But until we have Tomlin's actual authentic reaction, this is what we get.
I'll keep my thoughts to myself. You guys saw what happened at the end.
You got no comment about it?
That's exactly what I said. I got no comment.
Have you ever seen anything like that at the end of a game?
No more questions regarding that, because I'm saying nothing.
At some point, he's going to have to, though, right? He can't not say something. Pouncey may end up being suspended for multiple games, so he can't say nothing.
Because I'm saying nothing.
Well, but at some point, you're going to have to say something, though.
Because I'm saying nothing.
No. I'm saying down the road. I'm just saying is all. I'm just saying that at some point, you're going to have to say something. That's all. But I do look forward to that.
Because I'm saying nothing.
No, I got it. Fine, I lose this round, Coach. I lose this round. All right, we're going to hear from, let's see, Marquise Pouncey, Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph. I have absolutely no reason to throw water on the fire. I believe this is the only thing that sports radio will be talking about on Friday, and I am pleased to be the first voice that you're hearing talking about it for those of you who are waking up. So happy Friday to you. Producer Chris has put up a couple of polls in our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. One of them is about the number of games that Myles Garrett should serve as a suspension. And then the other one is the poll that we normally do on Friday mornings, which is the game you're most looking forward to this weekend, week 11. Man, it's like week 11 just got completely usurped. Is that a good SAT word? 855-212-4227 on Twitter, on Facebook. I'm trying to keep up, but I think I'm falling behind with your mountain of reaction. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Chubb is in the backfield. Hunt is in tight on the line on the right side. Farrell Brown in motion. Mayfield's going to sneak it left side. He is... touchdown, he's in. And now it's 6-0.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's almost comical to use a touchdown. I mean, good for the Browns. The win still counts. The NFL's not taking it away, and they definitely needed that win. It was a rough offensive game for the Steelers. We know that. Four interceptions, four sacks. And Myles Garrett had a great game until the very end. And just looking at the football piece of this, if he's gone for any length of time, maybe the rest of the season, it severely cripples that Cleveland defense. It's unfortunate. 8 seconds left and the game was essentially over. Also, as I was reading through some of your tweets and your Facebook posts, you reminded me, thank you. I guess it's not technically a sack on Mason Rudolph because the pass was completed. So it was a tackle, whether it was a late hit on Mason Rudolph by Myles Garrett, whatever the fact. I mean, I'd have to go back and watch that sequence beforehand. But because it was a completed pass, it wasn't a sack. And so that's not the right term for me to use. Regardless, that same 8 seconds is going to be what everybody's talking about. Jim Donovan with the call on the Cleveland Browns radio network. The Browns are now 4-6. The Steelers are 5-5. Okay, good. That's the most that we're going to talk about in terms of the actual standings. On our Twitter account, After Hours CBS, we've got a poll up asking you which game you're most looking forward to this weekend. Feels so odd. Bill responds with, "Well, after watching last night's end of the game debacle, I think I'll watch The Sound of Music. It's one of my favorite all-time movies. I love The Sound of Music." So on Twitter or on Facebook, we've got polls up. We've got all kinds of things that you can participate with. Myles Garrett taking responsibility in the locker room following the game.
That is embarrassing. Now what I did was foolish, and I shouldn't allow myself to slip like that. That's out of character. But situation like that where, you know, it's an emotional game, like Larry said, and allow myself to fall into those emotions, you know, with that last play and what happened.
You know, he had some words and kept on keeping on, and one thing led to another. So, but you can watch the tape, go back and check it out, and make your own assumptions. So.
Mason Rudolph with a lot of nervous energy throughout the course of his comments. He was standing at a podium. He was tapping on the podium, almost like he was tapping on a typewriter. Just, you could tell, just all kinds of extra nervous energy. And no doubt frustrated with the way that this unfolded at the end. Probably angry, maybe angry at himself. Also upset about the way the game played out. I mean, the offense for the Steelers was bad. And forget just the performance, but how about losing James Conner to a shoulder injury, Juju Smith-Schuster it was a concussion, right, for him, concussion protocol for Juju. Deontay Johnson was also knocked out on a helmet-to-helmet hit by Demarius Randle, who then got ejected in the third quarter. So they lost three pieces of their offense. If it wasn't concussion, tell me. You're looking at me like, was it? For Juju Smith-Schuster?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So they lost a bunch of players from their offense, and it went from bad to worse. And then at the end, just, oh, what a mess. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Lori, who's in South Carolina. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. I've been waiting almost an hour to talk to you, so I hope I get my little 5 minutes.
You're sweet. Well, 5 minutes would take us past our break, but I'll give you 3.5. How about that?
All right. I'm a huge Pittsburgh fan. There's no winners, really. I think that Myles Garrett should be punished the worst. I think Pouncey should be punished. And I don't think that Mason Rudolph should be suspended. Maybe he should be fined. It was just really crazy. It should have never happened. And what really bothered me is Myles Garrett, whenever he was speaking last night after the game, he never even apologized for hitting Mason Rudolph with his own helmet on his head. And if you keep looking at the replay, it's like his head just bounces. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's got to have some kind of concussion or something. But anyways, he said he was okay, too. So I don't know. I hope everybody's going to be okay. There was a couple of guys that I disagree with. One of them was a Grady, and he was, like, disagreeing with what you were saying. And the guy was, I mean, Myles Garrett was on top of Rudolph, and he wouldn't get off. I mean, you can clearly see that, and I mean, that's what frustrated him. I mean, my goodness, we were losing the game, so why even try to do anything, because they were winning? So that, I don't even understand why all of that even took place. But, oh, God, what was I about to say?
It's a lot.
Go ahead and respond.
No, I just no. It's a lot, and I will give you credit because you're the only Steelers fan who's called me tonight. I've heard a ton from Browns fans, and I've heard from some who are, I guess, no dog in the fight, neutral. But you're the only Steelers fan who called, and so we'll see. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more reaction. It's hard because to that point, until the smacking of the helmet on the top of the head of Mason Rudolph, I feel like these are just flags. They're personal fouls. It's not as though we, you know, you encourage that kind of scrumble at the end of a game, but it can be explained. It's relatively common. Everybody's pretty frustrated. Well, I don't know what Garrett wasn't frustrated, but Mason Rudolph's definitely frustrated by the way the game went, and by, you know, getting hit by Myles Garrett there, Gosh, it escalated so quickly in the span of a few seconds. Just it all went to hell in a handbasket.
You're exactly right. I tell you, it's crazy. I don't know what's going to come of it, but
I don't either.
I think Myles Garrett deserves the worst punishment. I'm not even going to try to guess what he should get because NFL knows best. So, you know.
You might be the only one who's ever said that, Lori, but I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks so much for weighing in and for waiting to talk to us. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend.
You too, Lori. Listening in South Carolina, our only Steelers fan to call. I think I've heard from a bunch of Steelers fans on our Facebook page specifically. So a couple of potential precedents in the past, and I don't even know if the NFL will look at them. I have no idea. But trying to come up with gauges for how the league might handle this. Going back to 2006, I'm sure any of you who watch football then will remember the Albert Haynesworth stomping on the head and face of Andre Girard. He actually needed 30 stitches at the time. And Haynesworth received a 5-game suspension for that incident. Again, that was in 2006. Now, the reason I bring that up is because, A, it was the longest suspension that the league had handed out for something egregious on the field like that, so during the course of a game, but also because it had to do with an opponent's head. So that's kind of another reason why I think it might be a precedent, is because it was a guy on the field with no helmet on, his helmet was off, and that's similar to what we saw with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph attacking a guy who has no helmet on. So there's one potential precedent. Again, Haynesworth received a 5-game suspension. The other one that we were thinking about, and earlier I mixed it up and got the two guys wrong, it was actually Antonio Smith who ripped off Richie Incognito's helmet in 2013 and then kind of swung it at him. Now, did he bonk him on top of the head? No, but he swung it at him after he took it off. And this was in the preseason. Antonio Smith was suspended the rest of the preseason, which was 2 games, as well as the season opener. And that was in 2013. So they're really the two, I don't know, examples that maybe the NFL looks at to gauge, or they could just treat this like it's a situation separate in and of itself, and they're going to decide that they have to go either deeper because of how profile it was, or maybe they don't suspend Garrett for the 6 games or 4 games, like Mike Pereira said. We shall see. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here on After Hours, we end every show the same way.
Boom! I just laid down the A-Law.
Boom!
You know it. You love it. Now we're cranking it up a notch. After Hours presents the best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines. A direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
Boom!
So we got a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back. It's a grand slam! They're going in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. Do you believe it?
It's the boom moment of the week. Here Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom.
Look like they might blitz. They do blitz. Russ has to get the ball out of his hands. No, he's got running room. 45, midfield, first down, slides down, is run into from behind after he's on the ground, but he's across the 40-yard line. Huge opening on the right side for Russell Wilson, and he picks up 20 and a first down. Michael Dixon puts it down. That kick is away, and that kick is good! The Seahawks win! It's good! From 42, the Seahawks in overtime win for the second time in 2 weeks, and they beat the undefeated, now once defeated, San Francisco 49ers.
That seems like such a long time ago, doesn't it? Steve Rabel on the Seahawks Radio Network, but that was how we wrapped up week 10, and it was glorious. The NFL was basking in the glow. Do you know that 16 million people watched Monday Night Football? It was the largest audience of the year, and it was a huge jump from the week before, which, if I'm not mistaken, was Cowboys-Giants. And so you got this incredible showcase on a national stage. And then week 11 starts with, I mean, it's a good rivalry, and then 8 seconds derails potentially the entire NFL weekends, which is why I think the league might react swiftly, because they want that to be part of the Friday weekday narrative and not just the video and the slamming of a helmet on the top of another guy. And I mean, that's a video that you're going to see on news networks. I guarantee it. When I drive home this morning, I'm a news junkie. I listen to news radio. I'm going to be hearing about it on the news stations that I'm listening to, because this is the story. Outside of the world of sports, this is the story. This is the highlight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Gosh, I'm doing my absolute best to keep up with your tweets and your Facebook posts, and I'm really not doing a good job. I'll spend a little more time when I have an opportunity, but it's this is the type of lightning rod topic that everyone has an opinion over. And so I appreciate that so many of you are listening. I appreciate that you disagree. I appreciate that you agree. Mostly, I just appreciate that we're having a conversation. This is really good for business. 855-212. Not that I want guys to get clocked over the head with helmets, okay? So please do not take that the wrong way. Just controversy is always good for business. And it's never a shortage of controversy in sports. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico, with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. I mean, there's a lot of different ways I could see this playing out with the NFL, but I keep coming back to the fact that the league can't stand when its image is tarnished, when the shield is damaged. And because this will be such a high-profile incident transcending the football world, I believe the league may crack down, again, because the league wants to appear as though this type of thing will not be tolerated. This is no name associated with this Twitter account. Dude in Ohio, though. About time the Browns and Steelers rivalry has some juice. The 80s are back. I mean, you know, my nieces tell me the 80s and 90s are cool again. So there's that, I guess. Let's go back to our phones here. Joe is listening in Louisiana. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I mean, I'm not a fan of either one, but he was kind of laying on top of him. Rudolph pushed him off. They say it's a kick. It's more like a push to get him off of him. And then we got the Ndamukong Suh type barbaric swinging of the helmet. I mean, you're trying to injure somebody when you're swinging a helmet like that.
I mean, poor Ndamukong Suh. What did he ever do to deserve you putting him in that conversation?
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. He obviously is taking liberties himself with his feet and with his hands.
Well, this is going to actually draw more attention than anything Ndamukong Suh's ever done. This is... And Myles Garrett's done this. I mean, not this, but the game against the Jets, he was really brutal on that quarterback there. He's got a way of trying to intimidate quarterbacks, and this is going to get him.
Yeah, I wonder. So it's interesting that you bring that up, Joe, because he's been fined already twice this season for illegal, egregious hits to quarterbacks. So I'm wondering if the league takes that into account. This is different, right? I mean, there could have been a personal foul for a late hit. There could have been a personal foul just for, you know, yanking at his face mask. There could have been multiple flags there. I don't know whether or not the league accounts, like, takes that into account or just says this is a completely different category. This has nothing to do with the game on the field.
This is borderline barbaric. I mean, he was trying to injure him swinging that helmet.
Isn't that the word Troy Aikman used? I don't think I've ever heard Troy Aikman say that word before, but maybe he never had the I feel like somebody on the Fox broadcast used barbaric. It's interesting, Joe. So did you at any point consider turning off the game before those final 8 seconds?
No, it was a good game. I mean,
there's so many people who turned off the game and did not watch.
Oh,
I just know.
And they're going to see the video this morning and say, why did I turn it off?
We had a guy who called earlier who went to the game and left with 3 minutes to play, and so he missed it. Oh, goodness.
And he's probably kicking himself. He's going to kick himself when, oh, man, I missed all the action.
Yeah, or he's going to lie to people and tell them he was there. Because he was there. He just wasn't there at the end. Yeah.
It's shown on every major social media.
Oh, everywhere.
Times.
Yeah, no, it's not just sports. This becomes a news story as well, which is what the NFL will hate. Joe, thanks so much for your phone call. I appreciate it.
Well, games. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you. Right now, if it's me. It's not me, but if it's me, I would say 6 games for Myles Garrett, meaning the rest of the regular season. I believe the NFL has got to go where the NFL has not gone before. I mean, it's a weapon. He turned the helmet into a weapon. Regardless of anything that happened before that, he escalated it to another level. And so I say 6 games for Myles Garrett, which would take him out the rest of the way. 3 for Maurkice Pouncey. Every man's responsible for his own decisions. Pouncey punching and kicking Myles Garrett while he's down on the ground. And we'll hear from Pouncey here in a second. I mean, there's a part of me, this emotional part of me that says I'm the protector too, because that's who I am. My family, my fellow basketball and softball teammates, even, you know, volleyball, there weren't many fights, but that was always my role. Like I was the bigger person out there, and I was always the one that was trying to protect my teammates and certainly my brother, my family. And so I understand the role of protector. Like, you just hit my guy in the head with a helmet. I am coming for you. And so I don't know how the NFL would interpret it. But again, there's this emotional reaction like, man, I would have done that too. I can't believe what you just did to my teammate. So I guess that's why I'm looking at this like Pouncey shouldn't be suspended as long. But who knows what the NFL will do. Mason Rudolph, I think, should, you know, he had a personal foul in there. So he should probably be fined. Yeah, gosh, it's a disaster that the NFL has to sort through. Pouncey afterwards, he said he's never been this angry before in his life or couldn't remember ever being this angry in his life.
I said whatever penalty it is.
Can you remember being that angry on a football field?
Nah, I blacked out. I don't even remember it really, to be honest with you.
He said, I blacked out. I don't even remember it really. Myles Garrett himself taking responsibility. I don't know if you would call this an apology or that he's remorseful, but he certainly understands the magnitude of what happened.
It's going to come back to hurt our team. You know, the guys who jumped in the little scrum, you know, I appreciate, you know, my team having my back, but it just never got to that point. That's on me.
This locker room is going to have to come together because this is going to be a soap opera on the outside, much like the media has portrayed us to be from the whole season.
So, the media.
We have to be a disciplined team. We have to address it. We have to handle it. We have to come together, and we have to play football. That's our job, is play football, show up every day and do that. That's plain and simple. And like Freddie said, instead of addressing the things of Joe Schobert has 2 interceptions, Morgan Burnett, that's the sad part about it, is our defense played lights out. Myles played a great game up until that point.
So Baker Mayfield pointing at the soap opera quality to all of this, although I hate to break it to him, but the media didn't create this situation. This is entirely on Myles Garrett. Let's see. We heard from Maurkice. We heard from Myles. We heard from Baker. You already heard from Mason Rudolph. One more. Joe Hayden, who's played for both of these organizations.
I've never seen anything like that, especially when he obviously doesn't have a helmet on. And it's your quarterback. You know, we work about protecting quarterbacks, and that's such a big emphasis. So I just never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of reaction. If you're on social media, you may have seen other NFL players reacting. And actually, players, pro athletes from other sports, too. I think my favorite, the one that I laughed out loud at, was Reggie Ragland, who's the defensive lineman for the Chiefs. And he was responding to what he saw from Patrick Mahomes on Twitter. Mahomes said, "Bro, I've never seen anything like this in my life," or "Bro, I can't believe that just happened." And Ragland, Ragland then quotes the tweet and says, "If this is Pat, go ahead and cancel Christmas." I mean, I need to use that. I need to find an appropriate time to use that. Go ahead and cancel Christmas. I don't know what he meant, as in, like, football would have blown up, or Pat would have lost his mind, or the Chiefs would have lost their minds in protecting Pat Mahomes, but something about canceling Christmas. So that one actually made me laugh. All right, we're going to do one more here. Cody's in Alabama. You've literally got 90 seconds. Go, Cody.
Hey, Amy. Good morning.
Morning.
Really, I just had kind of a different point of view on it, because, I mean, if you look at it, Mason went after him. Like, I completely agree that he escalated it to the next level by hitting him with a helmet. That no form of justifying what he did. But, I mean, the dude grabbed him first, then Miles grabbed him. And then the lineman got in between them, and then dude took off after Miles again. That's when Miles hit him. So
Miles had no other recourse but to smack him on the top of the head with the helmet that he took off of Mason's head?
Not saying that at all. I'm just saying that, I mean, what is happening to Mason?
I believe Mason gets fined. I said that there was a flag that was thrown. I don't even know what the flags were for. I wouldn't be surprised if Mason got fined. But, I mean, I don't think Mason started it. It was a completed pass, and he got tackled by Myles Garrett with 8 seconds. Why is he getting tackled by Myles Garrett? It wasn't a sack situation. And then, in my opinion, my interpretation, Garrett was enjoying it. He was hanging on. He was hanging out there. He wasn't getting up. And so Mason Rudolph takes exception to that. And yeah, he grabs his helmet and looks like he kind of shoves him with his foot, kicks him. Some people are saying he kicked him in the groin, though. You don't really have the video of that. And then goes after him when DeCastro pulls him off. But at what point did Mason throw a punch or do anything that would have necessitated? He didn't even have his helmet anymore. I mean, I think Mason deserves to get fined. It was a personal foul, but I don't think anything else of Mason's actions. I appreciate your phone call, Cody. Again, they're personal foul flags all around, things that the NFL would have looked at anyway, if not for what happened with the helmet. I mean, he was yanking him by the face mask and pulled the helmet off his head. Otherwise, he doesn't even have the helmet. There's just so much to sort through there. Anyway, right now, our Twitter show poll, 59% of you are saying more than 6 games for Myles Garrett. So we'll wait and see how the NFL weighs in, and we're back Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.